You're listening to a special episode edition of 5x5. In these episodes, I reach out and connect with humans who are brave and vulnerable and willing to share their stories about being human. I would love to introduce you to our next guest. Oswald Perez is a talented writer and an all-round good human. His writing started from a young age where he would write cards and letters to the people that mattered most to him. In senior year, he was given the task of writing a poem, and when the teacher handed it back, it was accompanied with, "Oswald, you're a poet." He was also published in the student newspaper twice. Now, Oswald chronicles his life and adventures through his blog site, newsletter and social media pages. And he has offered to share one of his most significant stories about his life that has helped him understand more about being human. I really want to thank you, Oswald, for joining us and being brave and being vulnerable, because I know that your lessons about being human are going to help others understand what it means to be human. So can you tell us about an event or a time in your life that caused you to really come to understand more about what it is to be human?
In that case, we'd have to go a bit further than, we have to go back to the time between the summer of 2001 and 2002. Those were that whole year, 13-month time frame was the time frame in which I had my most recent surgery on my right leg. See, mm-hmm. I was born premature, first of all, and then later in, after like barely surviving coming into the world, I found out that I was diagnosed with a mild form of cerebral palsy. It's a disorder that affects your speech, it has varying severities. I ended up with a mild form, meaning I might not look like there's anything wrong with me on the surface, but reality is there were a lot of complications that came along with the diagnosis as a child, and the parade of doctor's appointments, surgeries, braces, even this one contraption that like I would get into like from the hip and like had like steel legs going all the way down to a pair of shoes. So it's just a lot of years of not necessarily feeling human almost. Like it was just like, yeah, I had no idea like what that meant for all those years, despite like being in like school, like everyone has a similar situation. Parents, their intention protect, like they were keen to protect me. And I never really, I always felt like a human until for all those years.
And can you tell us, Oswald, what was it that you learnt about your own human during that time?
It was just, I couldn't give up. The scene, July 2001, about 3 days after I got home from surgery, there I am, like, in bed with a cast that, like, I can't move. I don't think I'm bedridden. I have stitches everywhere on my right leg and three pins in my middle toes because my legs were born deformed. That was the biggest complication of the cerebral palsy diagnosis. There were others like all over my body, but like the legs were the biggest problem, where it's like I was walking like on my tips, then had surgery at three years old. It was a mistake made that as a result, my legs were inverted. And then had one more surgery September 96, but that didn't take either. So they give it one more go round in July of August 2001. And there I am, like, sitting there in bed. It's hot. It's July in New York City. It's basically not the best. Like, it's hot. I'm bedridden. And I'm just like, just bummed to like Kingdom Come. Because basically my parents were coming in like in and out of work throughout the day to check up on me. My sister was at her summer program at the time. So I was more or less, and plus like a few friends like kind of all will visit you, or like didn't exactly happen that way. Not like mad about that. I was just a little disappointed that like, okay, I feel like I'm, even though like everyone's around me, I'm like going through this whole thing by myself almost. So I'm like, okay, I can't give up.
And does that reassure you now, knowing that that is one of your strengths, not giving up?
Like it does, even though like I sort of the one, like I don't realize it like immediately. Like, so like everyone else has to like remind you, everyone else has to like remind me to not like, because I'll be more like, I'm ready to like criticize myself for like every little thing that I mess up. And I guess it's everyone else telling me like, Oswald, you've accomplished a lot in your life. Like, don't give up on yourself, even if like the things are like in rough spots.
And that leads me into my next question. Were there lessons that you learned about other humans during that time?
Yes, there were actually. Like, there are people who like are willing to cheer you on, and who will be there for you like every step of the way. Like, case in point, my therapist, when I was recovering, because after the surgery ended, I had about a year's worth of physical therapy on my right leg. So twice a week, like after school, my dad would drive in from Island City, where my high school was, from where he was working in the Bronx, to Long Island City, Queens, to pick me up after school. We'd drive into Manhattan to the hospital for special surgery, where I would go physical therapy twice a week. And it was my therapist who, by sheer coincidence, also happened to be named Erin. Like, she, I felt, it's like being in her presence, I felt like a sense of calm, which I don't usually, I felt a sense of calm being around her, which I can't say for like very, like, I don't say that about like every single person in my life, you know? So it was just that she, for a year and a half, for a year, like it was twice a week, and just like through every phase. Eventually, like I came out of the surgery, like September 2001, like 3 weeks after the September 11th attacks, I came back to school September 25th, on 2 weeks later, and I started out in the wheelchair, like still with the walking, with the cast on my leg, still with the stitches and the pins in. And it was junior year in high school. Up until that point, I'd been in special education for most of my life until that point. But they realized that I was academically, I did so well. And the fact that like junior year, I was pretty much gonna be in the regular, I was gonna be taking classes with everyone else.
Yeah.
Like my accommodations, of course, extended time on exams. But it was just like a timing where it's like thrown in with like everyone, I'm thrown in the general education class, and I'm like already 2 weeks behind because of the surgery. So that whole year was a bit of a challenge, like going through all the phases of like recovery on top of like having to be in regular education.
And can you tell us now, when you look back on that time, what is it that you think about?
I think about, like, I look, think about it, like, every time I look down at my leg and the scars, even though, like, the surgery has almost been almost 20 years since, the scars are, like, down on my foot, like, a permanent, I just have to look down every time, and I see the reminder that the leg, if it wasn't for the scars on my feet, I would not be walking on 2 feet now. Like, that moment in August, that moment, a particular Thursday in August 2002, it was just a normal therapy, a normal follow-up appointment. I did not expect my doctor and surgeon, Dr. Widman, to tell me, you can take the brace off. And once I heard him say that, I'm like, I had that like look on my face. I'm like, he did not like that bemused, that like shocked look on my face the moment he told me that. And I was afraid to take the brace off my leg. Because after all this, I kind of felt like, okay, at least it's a solid plastic that, like, I'm not going to, like, injure, like, it's not, like, I'm not going to injure myself if I, like, without it. But, like, that, I took it off that afternoon and took that first step. And it was just, like, it was the happiest day of my life. So, happiest day of my life. I'll say, like, even, like, no matter like what comes my way, like in the future, like that day is the happiest day in my life. No matter like what happens to me, no matter what I accomplish in my now or in the future, it's going to be tough to beat the day that I took that first step on 2 feet unassisted, and like took, and I had like the biggest smile on my face, like when just like I looked at my mom because she was with me at the time, and like I had that, like that smile on my face the moment I started. It's like I'm walking, like I'm no, I feel like I don't feel weird anymore. Like I'm as close to normal in that moment as I'm ever gonna be.
And I can only imagine. Now that you had this body that would work with you, that would have given you an enormous sense of freedom.
It did, because, for example, like with a brace, like you can't, when you're going to like to buy sneakers or shoes, it's difficult because you're like trying to find a pair that does not. On top of that, like my left leg and my right leg are like slightly, like the left leg is longer than the right, so it's just like trying to find that pair of sneakers where it's like you don't feel like on the right foot you don't feel tight, like you can walk around it and not feel tight. Where it's like after the brace was gone, I'm like, okay, now I can like choose whatever shoe I want. Like I can, like I don't have to, like I don't have that brace anymore. Like I can. Like senior year in September 2002, I came back for senior year of high school as a start of it. I couldn't like roll up my jeans like fast enough to show everyone the spot where the brace stood. It just made me so happy to like no longer see like anything, just like nothing there anymore. Just be able to like be able to walk unassisted for the first time in my life without anything at all. Just made me feel so happy. And it's like, okay, I can finally like put most of like the childhood like trauma that resulted from all this behind me. Now I can just like see, okay, it's senior year of high school. I have a few exams to before I can graduate and have my SATs in college to focus on. I don't have to worry about my body being as much of a hindrance as it once was.
And I know that one of your other loves is travel. Tell us about how this moment in your life opened up other worlds for you to be able to move around and do things like that.
That didn't happen until October 2012. And that was just like walking around Paris. I mean, thankfully, like I had like, for example, the metro, Like you go into a series of like tunnels and labyrinths. So you're like doing multiple rounds just to get to the platform of the train. So it's like now with the brace off of me, it's like, okay, I can like, it's not as physically tiring to navigate the labyrinth. Although like I'm not as like fat, not as like the speed isn't like as, I'm not as quick to like move around, but I keep up. Like, I'm not as fast about it. And sometimes like if I'm on my feet too long, like I'll begin to feel it. Like I'm begin to get tired a bit quicker than everyone else, but I don't let that stop me from enjoying traveling. Like 3 years after the first trip to Paris, I took my first trip to Spain on my own. Granted, it was an escorted tour though, so yeah. I was traveling with a group of people, but I was the only one. I was the only solo traveler on the bus. So that like just like that whole like confidence of like being able to walk around on my own. Without fear of the legs getting in the way. It has opened my window of possibility a lot more than it was.
And after living all these days and all these moments, can you share with us what is it that you know for sure about being human?
What do I know for sure about being human? That
it is a big question, isn't it? And I know that you've mentioned before being surprised at all these places that you've ended up. Is that part of it?
That's what being human is to me. Ending up in places that you would not ordinarily expect yourself to be.
And I really want you to share with us some background about your writing, because it is truly beautiful writing. And I love the way that your words capture those moments of the days that you've lived. How did you get started?
Writing was essentially just a chronicle, at first anyway. It was a chronicle of like my life, where I would just, for example, like I would go out, whether it be a day or night, like go to concerts, go to theatrical productions, travel, and I would write about it. Usually, like I would do it, like within, like for example, like go to a concert, and usually I'm like get home, like it's the early hours of the next morning, and I'm on like I have the WordPress app on my phone or like on my and my iPod Touch. So usually, like to keep the memory, since I have like the memory in my head like still fresh, I just get on the app and start writing, like just recounting the events of the evening. Usually, the start like how we ended up here and just like go from there. So it's just a chronicle of my life, essentially, and it was. And it was years before Instagram ever like came into the picture. The whole reason it came up was through Kathy Heller's 5-day challenge in January. One of the posts was she gave us the Emily McDowell post or Morgan Harper Nichols post, and yeah. I reposted it, and then like in the caption just wrote. How a particular post made me feel, and that's when it began, and then eventually, like taking Kathy's advice of like the whole notion of my words being art themselves, like I don't have to just be stuck to just writing or just photographing, taking my camera and photographing. there was a way I could do both. Just ran with it, and then like posted it to Instagram, and for better or worse, like I haven't really stopped since.
And Oswald, for those people who are interested in more of your writing or connecting with you, can you tell us where we can find you?
Sure. So my blog is the blog underneath the security blanket. I named it after, like, I'm a big fan of like Charles Schulz and the Peanuts cartoons. So I named it after the security blanket that Linus carries around with him, no matter how many times Lucy tells him to ditch it. Anyway, so the address for the blog is perezoswald.wordpress.com.
Mm-hmm.
On Instagram, my handle is at Oswald Perez. That's all one all together, Oswald Perez 85. And I also have, like, this was another recent avenue of mine that I've opened up, which is thanks to Rena, she put this idea in my head where it's like, oh, you can write a newsletter. I found this site, substack.com. And it's oswald.substack.com.
And I will add all those details in the episode notes for people who are interested. I so want to thank you, Oswald. I want to thank you for showing up and being vulnerable and brave. I know that the moments of your story will help others understand more about what it means to be human. And I honestly, sincerely want to thank you for being willing to come on and be our first special guest on the 5x5 podcast.
Thank you for having me on as a guest. I do appreciate you giving me, through the community and through your podcast, the space to be human.
Thanks for listening to 5x5. Reach out and let me know about the thoughts, feelings, and knowings that this has brought you. You can reach me on Facebook, Erin Minogue Author Freelance Writer, or on Instagram at Burn Your Bones, Find Your Soul, or my author page at Erin Minogue Author. I really look forward to hearing your 5x5s and the moments you've witnessed about all things human.